Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace of Jesus.
Shalom, shalom, bro.
Hey, hey, hey. What's happening?
Hey, grace and peace, bro.
Grace and peace of Jesus. Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace, everyone. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom. Well, what we want to say is welcome again to another episode of Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Tonight we have Brother Isaiah Brown from the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class coming out of Peoria, Illinois. And today's precept is congenize of the saints, congenious of the saints.
Close.
Look. Close enough. either or, I gotta hear this one here. This one here gone hot. This here gone speak hot. I know it is. I ain't even never heard of this, but it sounds like some big time Yale Oxford stuff. Congenious. Well, hey, it got more than two syllables. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's all good, bro. It's all in love. You get it.
Anywho, hey, look, it's gonna be a doozy. Without further ado, we're going to turn it over to our brother Isaiah Brown.
All right, amen. Grace and peace, family. My name is Brother Isaiah, coming out of Peoria, Illinois, to the sound of meekness and charity. I said to the sound of meekness and charity. I had to say like three things at once. But you know what I mean, to the spirit of meekness and charity Bible blog talk show. Do I have a reader tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right, amen. All praises to the Father. All praises.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We can get this to, oh, my goodness. Okay, cool. I got my Bible right here. All right, grace and peace, family. The name of the precept tonight is called Cognizance. Because the same way you said it was the same way I was saying it until I looked at the pronunciations on the internet. But the name of the precept is called cognizance. It's cognizance. Cognizance. And the word cognizance means it's a noun, and it means knowledge, awareness, or notice. And tonight's lesson, what we're going to look at is that, you know, just to break down certain things that the Lord allowed prophets to do on some things he really don't allow us to do, you know. And I think it's because of their understanding, with their knowledge, their awareness, and it definitely how they notice things. Like, for example, you know, David was able to pray, you know, don't show no mercy on my enemies. You know what I'm saying? And to rejoice of your enemy, no, to rejoice of the Lord of taking out your enemy. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you got Elisha, you got Moses, you know, you got all these prophets that the Lord allowed hurt, but he allowed them to put hands on people. You know what I'm saying? And like, for example, the prophet Samuel, you know, he hacked Agag up the king. You know what I'm saying? Hacked him to pieces. But the whole thing is that tonight let's try to get a meaning of why. You know, why did the Lord allow these prophets like Moses, Samuel, Elijah, David, you know, why did he allow them to pray hurt upon people? But when you get into New Testament, when it get like actually down to our generation, you know, why? How come it's not really with us? It's because I kind of think I understand. You know, I'm always up for correction with this precept because it's a brand new one, and you know, all I'm doing is just throwing a what if out there. Maybe it's this way. I'm not saying it's 100, but hey, why not give it a try? Maybe it was something the Father wanted me to put together. Because, you know, you have a lot of brews, you know, that really don't deal with the New Testament, for the simple fact is that it tells us to love one another. Because I must have said love to somebody on the Facebook page, and they called me a softball Hebrew. Wow, a softball Hebrew. Because I said the Lord said love one another. But it's all good. But a lot of people think that the Bible is contradicting itself for these matters that we're about to read. Because I can just put it out to you right now, the prophets in this Bible, we don't even come close to. It's because of cognizance. It's because of their knowledge the Lord gave them, their awareness, and also the things they know spoil of. But that's enough of me raggling. Well, that's enough of me bumping my gum, excuse me. I'm going to start us on the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother Job Israel can put whatever the Father put on his heart.
Amen.
After this matter, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, but he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of man. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. I read Proverbs chapter 15. Verses 6 to the 12, may the Lord add a blessing in reading and the doing of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All praise to the Father, bro. Thank you for bringing that. Amen.
Amen.
All right, family. It's time for us getting this precept. It's really nice precept that the Father allowed me to put together. And one more time, the name of the precept is called Cognizance. And it's a noun, and it means knowledge, awareness, or notice. You know, so and the reason why I use this word cognizance is for the fact is that I'm looking at this definition as the prophets that were allowed to pray hurt, to curse people, you know, to chop them up to pieces. You know, it's because I believe that they were more of a servant than what we are. You know,
amen.
We read about them to learn how they did it right. You know, we read about them and understand what the Father gave them. You know, I already know they all going to the first resurrection. You know, so I don't think that we have to or that's put ourselves on the same pedestal of these prophets. You know, because we look at their behavior and their actions on things, we think that in this westernized world and how we think that we're also able to do the same thing that they did. But I don't think that's the case. It's because when you think like that, you're going to start to think that the Bible is contradicting itself. Because the Bible got it set up a certain way in the Old Testament, but when you go in the New Testament, it's set up in a different way. It's more love one another. You know, it could be that the Lord said, you know, hey, y'all not on them like on them levels. I'm not giving y'all that type of authority. So y'all come with loving one another. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But let's see if this precept will come to play. So the first thing we're going to do is just look at some of the things that David prayed about, starting this precept out. You know, the things that, you know, we're going to check out the things he prayed about. And then we're going to look in the Bible to see what the Lord said about it. Even though they prayed and he was okay with it, but the same point of time is we need to understand that the Bible do not contradict itself. So the first thing we're going to do is go into the book of Psalms chapter 59 and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. The book of Psalms chapter 59 verses 1 through 5.
Amen. Psalm 59 verse 1. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. They are mighty to gather against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Await to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake and visit all the heathens, and be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah.
Amen. But you know, even though the book said, be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah, we understand that. But when you look at this prayer that David was doing to start this night, is that this is when Saul sent men after him to watch over to kill David. So this is when this time period was set forth. But as you can see, is that, hey, you know, I'm going to ask the Lord for deliverance, you know, deliver me, you know, from my enemy. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's a reason why we went here. Go right to 58, Brother Joe. We go to the book of book of Psalms, chapter 58, verses 3 through 10.
Psalms 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poisons is like the poisons of serpents. They are like the deaf adders that stoppeth her ears, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers. Charmers never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as the waters which run continually. When it bendeth its bow and shooteth its arrows, let them be cut as pieces. As a nail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like an untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away like a whirlwind, both the living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he see the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that the
amen.
Man shall.
Amen. So first of all, I'm laughing is because, you know, it just makes you think that that's how we talk sometimes when we talk crazy. If I'm going to knock you out, I'm going to knock your teeth out your mouth. And, you know, and David said it, verse 6, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. You know? And then when you go, and then when you read these scriptures in the Bible. I'm sorry, one second. Take a bath when I get done. Go back on your tablet. All right, so when you look at this thing right here, you know, he said, you know, David is praying, you know, break their teeth out their mouth. And then you go into verse 10, it says, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. But when you look at the, when you look at this, it says, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. But now we need to go in the book of Proverbs chapter 24 to check this thing out, because we see that the Lord allowed David to say this. But let's go in the book of Proverbs chapter 24. It said rejoice, right? But what the Lord, but what the book said about rejoicing about that? Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17.
Proverbs 24, 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth.
Amen.
18.
Lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him.
Right, so now you see, this is why the name of this precept is called cognizance. You know, we not on David level. You know, David is a man after the Lord's own heart. You know, he the one that was probably like 4 feet tall, a lot of authority to that Philistine, Goliath. Where is this uncircumcised Philistine? Got the foul of the host of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about this man. He can say that. But I don't think we on that level as of David to say something like that. So there's no way in ever I understand the Bible does not contradict itself. But what I'm trying to show you guys tonight is that maybe we just not on a level. The cognizance that the Lord gave these prophets, just not on that level. You know, we just trying to make it. David was his boy. When David died, the Lord was still taking care of his enemies. After his memory has gone, when David went into the ground, his memory was gone. Jet pitch black. Remembrance of nothing. But the Lord loved him so much, he going to still make sure he take care of his enemies and also make sure that he had lineages going through the throne. How many of us can say that?
Amen.
So you look at the servants of God, and look like they can get away with that. But we better look at Proverbs 24:17-18 and understand you better not do that. Food for thought. Let's add more to this story. Let's look at something else David did. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11.
Proverbs what again?
2 Samuel chapter 11. We have 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through. Whoa. Yum. Hello, can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3.
Brother Brown?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, okay, because I can't hear him.
Hey, can you hear me?
Why not?
I don't know.
Hello?
Oh, okay, there we go. Is he there now? Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
can you hear me?
Okay, good. All right. Well, I don't know what happened. All right. Yeah, my mic went down. My headpiece went down. I don't know how that happened. Just went down. Proverbs 11 and what?
Oh, 2 Samuel.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel. Oh, way off. 2 Samuel's what?
2 Samuel's 11 verses 1 through 16.
Okay, 2 Samuel's chapter 11 verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings went forth to battle. Then David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon, and David sent in the choir.
Stop. Wrong script. I'm looking like, what is, I'm reading. This chapter.
I know what I'm reading.
You all good, bro. I'm tripping. That's not what I wanted. I'm sorry about that. Okay, now what's going on? Hold on, Rico, we doing this one. Give me one second. Please give me one second. Okay, don't hang up the phone.
No, sir.
I swear. Hold on one second.
I know one thing, man. Being able to curse out the saints, be able to not curse out the saints, but curse someone. And high that authority is amazing. Because I know I seen Paul do it.
Right.
You know, I seen him do it, or he spoke of it. I know he spoke of it, you know, in the Corinthians when he was talking about the Passover, turning one over to the devil for the destruction of the body, you know, and you like, whew.
Right.
Did he just say that, you know? And God knows, man. You know, God knows. But that thing is a deep set, you know, to be able to actually be able to physically curse somebody and they actually cursed and they drop dead, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a deep set. Yep.
Let's try 15.
Second Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1.
Well, no, that's the wrong one. I can't believe it. I be going so fast sometimes. Hold on,
it happens. It happens.
I know it's real close. Okay, I found it. I'm sorry. It's 2 Samuel chapter 1.
2 Samuel chapter 1?
Yeah, verses 1 through 16.
Okay, verses 1 through 16? Okay. Now, it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, David had a bow 2 days in Ziklag. It came to pass that on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head, and it was so. And so it was. When he came to David, he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel I am escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan and his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan and his son be dead? The young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gibeah. Behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, his chariot and the horsemen follow hard. The chariots and horsemen follow hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, "Here am I." And he said unto me, "Who art thou?" And I answered him, "I am an Amalekite." He said unto me again, "Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for the anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me." So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them thither unto my lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul, and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, "Whence art thou?" And he answered, "I am a son of a stranger."
Right. Who are you? You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and read.
He said, "I am a son of a stranger, an Amalekite." And David said unto him, "How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and fall upon him and smote him that he died." And David said unto him, "Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I slayed the Lord's anointed."
Now let one of us do that in this westernized time period, since we think we on that level. And watch how fast we be in prison, serving life.
Amen.
David was allowed to do this because he's the Lord's anointed. Now he is. The Lord allowed him to do this, because he's a man after his own heart. That was in his heart, the knowledge he had, the awareness, even the things he was no deserve of serving the Lord was so great and high. Hey, you can do that, because you're a man after my own heart. You think just like me, not us. Because this is one thing, because, you know, I don't do it no more. I'm just trying to keep the focus more on myself now. You know, some full-time daddy and stuff, so, you know, I don't really have a chance to do a lot of things I usually do. But, you know, but even, like, when I talk to them, like, when I talk to brothers and stuff like that, you know, it's like they just don't understand when the Lord say love one another. You can't knock that when the Lord say have compassion. You can't knock us. You can't knock the New Testament because it said we need the fruits of the Spirit. Because remember, David is a king. David dwelt with war, his time period. Even that alone is necessary enough for him to kill. And his blood was so high that his son had to finish. It had to do the work with the temple. The Lord said, "Man, your hands is too bloody. You did a good. You thinking of doing something like that was good, but man, you shed too much blood in my eyes, right? I let your son do it." It's because David is a man after the Lord's own heart. Don't mean we got to knock the New Testament because the Lord is showing us how to do this another way. But let's keep adding more stuff onto this. Let's check out Elisha. Let's go in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2.
2 Kings chapter 2.
Verses 23 and 24.
2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. "And he went up from thence to Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tear 40 and two children of them.
Now the Lord might have chastised the children in our time period. Or the Lord might would have been like, well, how many times have you talked to people in your heart? In our time period, the Bible said that don't even be too much into other people's business because you might hear them curse you. And then you not, and the Lord tell us not to even get mad because we've cursed other people in our own heart. But not Elisha. Them little, they was children.
Yep.
Children got dealt with for talking about a man of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's because we don't come close to him. We don't come close to Elisha. To see Elijah from a whirlwind, a fiery pillar cloud, and to be asked a double portion. Who in this time period got that? I don't know of any.
Amen.
So let's be mindful of that. Let's be mindful of these things. Let's check out some more stuff. Let's check out some more prophets. It's because what we're looking at right now is that we're just looking at the authority that the Lord gave his prophets in the Bible. And we need to understand is that we don't fit under this category of this authority that the Lord gave his disciples. We don't have that. But let's look at more of this stuff. Let's go to the book of Numbers chapter 16.
What was that again?
The book of Numbers chapter 16.
Number 16.
Yeah, we're going to read verses 1 through 16, and then we're going to skip.
Okay. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, and the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, man of renown. They gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon yourself, saying all the children are holy. Every one of them, the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are he is and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Do this. Take you census, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense on them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doeth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seeming it's a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you nearer to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister unto him, have brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both you and all your company that are gathered together against the Lord, what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land which floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in this wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast brought us into this land that floweth with milk. Forgive me. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land, into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or giveth us inheritance of the field or vineyard, would thou put out the eyes of these men, we will not come up. When Moses was very wroth, and he said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And the Lord said unto Korah.
Go ahead.
And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron and tomorrow.
Amen. That's good enough. Now, check this out right here. Now, you said that Moses was ticked off, right? And said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Man, Moses got right like that to chop it up with the Lord like that, not us. Just imagine one of us had to go to the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Lord, don't respect none of that. You probably turn like, man, who are you? You just as filthy as the next person. But the whole thing
right.
is that the cotton exists that was inside of Moses, his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the things that he was able to notice was far greater than our own. And the Moses was so meek of the whole earth that the Lord allowed him to see his fully backside. And his face shone and had to put a covering up on his face. You see, because it's one thing, it's like we really need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves to see that we're not on that level as these prophets. And that's all we're dealing with tonight, to show that we're not on their level. It's like we are serving God and we're trying to do the best we can serve God. But they serve God to the point that they knew they was going to be in the first resurrection at that time appointed. All we're doing is hoping. So let's be mindful of that. Let's go to the book of James chapter 2.
Amen.
Because we really need to think about this thing. You know, it's like because we understand that the Bible's not contradicting itself, and we also understand that we're not on the prophet's level. But we need to just really think, like why? Like, what was these prophets, what were they doing so spectacular for the Lord to be on them like that? You know, and to respect their cursing and all that other jazz.
Wow.
Let's see if we can get a better understanding than this in the book of James chapter 2. The book of James chapter 2, we can read verses 14 through 17.
James chapter 2, verse 14. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
James 2 and 14. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saith unto him, depart in peace and be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give him them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not worked, is dead, being alone also.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, a man say. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me that faith without that works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
And they tearing our ass to shreds with that verse right there.
Mm. Yep.
You know, we say we believe in God. Yeah, we believe in God. We have faith. But, he really got to tear our back open for us to do what he say. But, but the prophet's telling you, yeah, y'all talking. But we're going to show you our works. That's the
Amen.
Lord allowed written the page of this book. But a lot of us showing us our faith, our works. Hey, once again,
Amen.
That's why we read this tonight. we read this tonight to see that we ain't on that level. He said, yea,
right.
A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And best believe that these prophets have shown us their faith by their works. Because their works is great compared to ours.
Amen.
Let's go to Book of Ephesians chapter 2. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 8 and 9.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen. We all get us grace and mercy. Let's move along. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read 23 through 24. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Let's add more stuff onto this. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto man. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
And that's another thing they pulling us out of. You know what I'm saying? It said that and whatsoever ye do. Hold on one second. Hey Boogie, go on your road. It's too loud. All right, so you're looking at verse 23. It says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. And that's what they did, man. They didn't care what men thought about them. You know what I'm saying? But when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, man, they said Moses, he'd rather suffer with the people than enjoy a time of with the Egyptians for a little season, being around
right.
men. You know what I'm saying? And that's just with the rest of us anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's like we do things to be seen of men, not the prophets. They could care less. How did John the Baptist came, when Campbell's fur, probably looking crazy, so I don't know what. He can care less what man thinks, because he was about his father's business. You know, so this is another way to prove that our knowledge and awareness and even the things that they notice according to the scriptures, man, we don't come close to that.
Amen.
Because they did this thing so right that they know they could be in the first resurrection. We hoping to make it to the wilderness. You know?
Amen.
We need to be down for that. Let's move along. Now let's go to the book of Job chapter 1. I don't think the Lord calling me this, that he calls this servant. I don't think he calling me this at all. I don't think I come close to this that he called Job. In the book of Job, chapter 1, we can read verses 6 through 8. Job 1, 6 through 8. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?
I don't know the conversation the devil might be trying to pull through to the Lord, or the things he allowed him to do, or the things that the Lord say. I don't think the Lord calling me a upright and perfect man that eschew evil. You know, I fight to do better, and through the grace of God, I'm doing a lot better, you know, but I don't think I'm on that level that Job was on. Because Job must have been so perfect in God's eyesight, he allowed him to take out all his substance and his keys. and left his wife alive just to really prove to Satan that he ain't touching his servant.
Hmm.
God forbid we lose, you know what I'm saying? God forbid we lose our job.
Amen.
God forbid. But we ain't on that level. Like I said before, I'm going to say it again. This precept is such a show that we not only on these levels, these prophets in the Bible. We ain't got no business to be trying to say that the New Testament don't exist. We ain't got no business trying to say that the Bible is contradicting itself. Because we're reading this Bible tonight to show that we just not on that level these prophets are on. And we should be thanking God enough that we at least got a chance, opportunity to know him.
Amen.
Now let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. Because it's
First
something
Samuel
that really 13. Caught 13, 1 Samuel 13. It's something that really caught my eye. It's something that really caught my eye. Because we know after Saul messed up, the Lord said he found another servant to rule his people Israel. But what caught my attention is that the Lord gave Saul a second chance. But when he told him he had a second chance, he already called David. That blew my mind. Let me stop talking about it so we can read.
Saul chapter 13 and...
Samuel.
1 Samuel.
We have 1 Samuel 15... Verses 1 through 2. 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 2.
1 Samuel 15, verses 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel.
I'm so sorry. I meant to say you was right. That's the we going to this one, but we going to 1 Samuel 13 and 1. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
The book of First Samuel chapter 13 verse 1.
Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, and in the mount of Bethel. 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrisons of the Philistines that was in Gibeah. And the Philistine heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land and said, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrisons of the Philistines. That Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sands, which as the on the seashore, a multitude that came up and pitched their mishmash eastward at Behavim, from Behavim.
Mm-hmm.
When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offering. And he offered a burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering, or the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him and Samuel. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, and the Philistines would gather themselves together at Michmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me in Gilgal, and I have not made supplications to the Lord, and I forced myself therefore, and burned offer burnt offerings." And Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he hath commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord had commanded thee." And Samuel rose and got.
That's enough. We just read Samuel's 1 Samuel's chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. But the Lord gave him another chance in 1 Samuel 15 chapter. But in 1 Samuel 13, the Lord already called. He already said that he found him another man already. It says, but verse 14. "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So it's like Samuel was, it's like David was already in play. So was the Lord looking for him already when Saul went out?
Wow.
Because he gave him a second chance. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 2. He gave him a second chance already, but he already, it's like, well, you go do that, but I still got me somebody else. It's like, man, that's scary. 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 2.
1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord has sent me to anoint thee king over Israel, over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which the Amalekite did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt."
That's enough. Just let you just, the reason why you read these two verses, well, these two chapters in the Bible, well, the 1 Samuel 13 and the 1 Samuel 15, you know, it's just to see how much the, like, how what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted David. You know, after Saul showed that he wasn't worthy of that spot, the Lord really wanted David, and he made him king of Israel. So it's just this evil. It's crazy he gave Saul a second chance. Before he got that second chance, he already had David. Before he had a second chance. That's mind-boggling.
Yep.
The Lord gave him a second chance. Before he had a second chance, he already had David.
Set up.
So it seems like this David is we not touching David. David can pray for the Lord to still on his enemies and knock their teeth out their mouth. He can pray that. He can tell people to rejoice. You know, when the Lord take care of, when we take down enemies.
Right.
I ain't telling us to do that now, but he is able to do that. When somebody talking foolishly, and David knew it, and David was to the point he was pissed off. He said, "Man, how is it that you weren't afraid to put your hands to the Lord's anointing? Hey,
right.
Yo, go fall on him. Go fall on him. We ran off elation. You know, they calling him, go up thou bald head, go up thou bald head. Man, cursed but his heart, and Lord sent two she bears and killed the children. We read about Moses when it came to Korah. He said, Lord, don't even listen to nothing they talking about. I didn't take nothing from them, and I didn't put no hands on them. And when Moses was talking to the people of Israel to show who the Lord said and who not he sent, what did he say? He said, if something new happened to them, know that the Lord sent me. Then the Lord hearkened to his voice. And Moses told you, if that ground opened up and sucked them whole, then you know the Lord sent me. What happened? It went right up under, and the Lord put a little icing on the cake. It sent the fire down to kill the rest of them off. This Moses, face that shone, the Lord used him to take out to take out Egypt and to gather all his people out of Israel. I mean, excuse me, not out of Israel, but out of Egypt. And Moses was so cold with the staff, the evil angels had to be subjected unto him. Because we read the book of Psalms, the Lord said he sent evil angels. They weren't able to do nothing until Moses and Aaron started throwing them hand signs with them staff. So even the angels were subjected unto them because they couldn't do nothing until the Lord's service started to do it. Smack that dust. Put that staff in that water. Divide them waters up so it can be from wall to wall. The angels did that. Then they started doing signals with the sky when the fire came down. You say evil angels will do that. We keep our hands in the hand this generation long enough, the cops might think we telling on ourselves. Lock us up. So what I'm saying is, man, we ain't close to these prophets like that. We are not close to them like that.
Wow. Sadiq said, you.
Yes, sir. I actually get some more stuff. So, you know, this is why the priesthood is called for, man, to show that the Bible ain't contradicting itself. And when the Lord say that, in the Old Testament, well, I'm going to even say the Lord said that. I'm not going to even say that. Matter of fact, I'm going to hold my peace. Let's just keep going.
Okay.
Now let's go to the book of Acts chapter 13 and 22.
Acts chapter 13 and
22.
Acts 13 and 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up, And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.
Amen. Was that the whole verse?
That was all of 22.
Amen. So all we're doing is looking at it from the Old Testament, looking at it from the New Testament. Because we read 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, the Lord said, I found the man after my own heart. And just to add on to that, we just read the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and he said that he found the man after his own heart.
Amen.
So it seems like the Lord must have searched Saul's heart and said, man, he ain't going to follow me like that. Let me look around for somebody else. It must have hit jackpot. The Lord hit jackpot and found David.
Already there.
Probably like, man, he gonna do it. He gonna do all my. He gonna do all my work. He gonna do all my will. And then David, he just keeps showing me he gonna mess up. So I want him. I'm not gonna even go into further detail because I don't know what happened. But all I'm gonna say is that after the Lord, before the Lord gave Saul a second chance, he already found David. That's another big one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe that just like that. So now we get an understanding on these prophets in the Bible, why they was allowed to do the things, and we got an understanding why the Lord said, why the Lord allowed David, Moses, Elijah, Samuel, and these other prophets to behave a certain way, because they were servants of the Most High God. They got an automatic ticket in the first resurrection. They did this thing right. They proved by their works that they are servants of the Most High God. But we trying to get like that. We trying to get
Amen.
Like
that.
Amen. So now let's look at what the Lord showed us to do. So now we got to go in the New Testament for a second to understand something. Let's go in the book of Luke chapter 6. So now we can go into these scriptures and get an understanding on why the Lord told us to go this way. He told us to go a certain way. You know, he allowed his prophets, he allowed his boys to do it that way. But he telling us to do it in the New Testament this way. So we're in the book of Luke chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 20 through 38.
Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, "Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when man shall hate you, and when ye and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets."
Yeah.
Woe to you.
Yeah, so we got understanding on that. But now we see that the Lord is not giving us that harsh authority he gave his other prophets in the Bible. Well, we understand he's giving us, I understand that he's starting to give us more of the love area, the more of the meekness area, the more of the temperance area. For the fact is that, you know, we have from 3,500 years ago, you know, even to our time period in this westernized corrupt world, we have woefully disobeyed God tremendously through time after 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 time, even to this time. But the Lord is rich in mercy, and the one, and he's working and dealing with the ones that's actually trying to do this thing right. You see, David and them, you know, they were master servants of God. You know, we just little pups trying to do it right. You know what I'm saying? So what I think is that the Lord, you know, well, I gave them that authority. Y'all don't have that authority because you have not proven to be set up on that level. But since every last one of y'all was filthy rags beyond recognition, then y'all learn how to love one another, come together, and stop all that fighting, stop all that bickering. Stop pointing the finger. Do it more that way. Go ahead and read.
Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto their prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to their false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully misuse you. And unto them that smitten thee on the cheek.
Oh, hold on, brother. That's enough right there, man. The boo was the one to hear that. You know, that last part you just read, they didn't want to hear that part right there. They didn't want to hear that. You know, about do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Because they feel like they just got to be this type of hard, supposedly lying and Judah towards these other people. But Lord telling us, man, y'all in this time period, man, you know what I'm saying, if y'all want to make it, man, y'all got to do it this way. You know, y'all got to learn how to love one another. Go ahead and read.
Woe to you that I know. But I say unto you, verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smitten thee on the one cheek, also on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that take away that cloak, forbid not to take also the coat also. Give every man that ask of thee, and of to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as would that man should do to you, do also likewise to them. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank ye have? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend and hoping for nothing again. And reward, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind and unto the unthankful and to the evil. But
Amen. So now we understand that this is what the Lord is telling us. This is what the Lord is telling us, man. Y'all come out and do it this way. You know, it's good to see, read the Bible and see how the prophets was back then, but you can understand that that's what the Lord gave. He gave that to them in that time period. But he ain't get that to us. You know what I'm saying? I do know it's a certain time in his lifetime that's going to come up when the Lord said Judah go fight and the Lord could be with him. But other than that, I don't see the Lord telling us to do anything like that. Ours is more of on the generous side, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. Love your brother, love your neighbor. You know, I'm looking for those that's of a broken, of a contrite spirit. Those are the ones I'm looking for, the ones that know that they're not good enough but trying their best to get it right every single day. You know, that's the ones the Lord is coming for. You know what I'm saying? So we really need to understand that. And, you know, I'm still thinking about that song.
What song is that?
No, I'm talking about Saul, S-A-U-L. Saul, the first king of Israel. Saul.
Oh, Saul. Okay.
Yeah, what we talked about. But, yeah, but that's the precept. That's the precept tonight, y'all. I'm a little tired. I'll fall through it. I said, Lord, I'm doing this lesson today. But, yeah, all praise to the Father. And that's the name of the precept. And the precept is called cognizance. It's just the knowledge, awareness, or in the things that the prophets noticed back in the time period and why the Lord allowed them to do the things that we aren't really allowed to do is because we're just not on that level. The understanding and the awareness that they had, we're just not on that level. So it's obvious the Lord will allow them prophets to be on that level. But us, filthy rags times 10, we're not on that level. So I understand that the Lord might just want us just to be a little bit more on the, you know, the humility level and the meekness and temperance, long suffering, because we need the Father to show us that anyway. So that's the name of the precept. The name of the precept is called Cognizis. And I thank y'all for your time.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But you know, this one verse right here, just reading this, man, it's like, you know, you get so much slack from Hebrews that believe in the Old Testament because of this, you know, because
right.
The Lord tell you, you know, and I know what you're talking about. You got those, you know, you got the GMS type of spirit out here. You know, why are you being soft? You know, why is that? You know, why? How could you love your enemy? Look what he did, and that sort of thing. You know, not forgetting that vengeance is the Lord. You know, you can't take that from God. You can't usurp authority from Him.
Mm-hmm.
Vengeance belongs to Him, so you can't usurp authority from God. So it is what it is. You know, what do you do with that? You know, God already chose David, you know, but at the same time, God hadn't stopped talking to Saul yet. You see what
right.
I'm saying? If he had went on and killed the Amalekites, God would have still been with him. But he hadn't stopped talking to Saul yet. But when he didn't kill the Amalekites, then he stopped talking to him, and he said, well, you know, that's when he went to the witch, you know, and the witch, you know, he started talking to the witch, and she called up Saul, you know, but then God stopped dealing with him, you know, on that wise. That was that thing, man. So, you know, it was a lot going on, you know, that God was doing. And he was moving, man. And another thing, man, you know, you got to be careful who you putting your hands on, man. They may have power to curse your children.
Right.
You know, you don't know who they are. You don't know if they men of God or women of God. You don't know. And your kids out there bad, you know, you haven't taught them discipline and how to respect elders and keep the commandments of God and honor, you know, every man, his father and mother. They out there being disrespectful and cussing and whatnot and talking crazy to grown folks, man, and then that person cursed your child, and next thing you know, he pushing up or she pushing up daisies, and you like, my baby ain't never hurt nobody. No, you wasn't there when they did.
Mm-hmm.
You see? All them people, you got to think about it. All the people whose child was cut or was... It was torn by a bear. It didn't say it was eaten. They was torn. Bears got some nice claws on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got like 6-inch claws. They got claws that run deep. So they didn't say they was eaten of the bears or they was killed, but he got into them. You know, and depending on what child got it good or got it bad, he said it tore into them children. Now the parents themselves, you know, they probably, I'm sure some said, well, why, you know, this bear did this. Some said, well, you know, hey, you already know Pookie was something else. You had some Pookies back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You had Pookies back in the day. So don't act like you didn't. So you got
right.
them, and there you go. You see, so this is that thing. Man, Jew, this is a deep set, man. You know, I think I want to share this. This is that 1 Corinthians 5. And it says this, 5:1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that one have done this deed might be taken away from you. For verily, for I verily as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already. That's Jesus. That's Christ. He said, as though I was present concerning him that has done this deed. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? That's that spirit, man. You know, Paul had it too. Peter had it. Peter had it when with Ananias and his what was that wife? I can't think of that. Oh man, what was his wife's name? But he had the same power. They were supposed to sell. They were supposed to sell their property, and they kept back the money.
Oh yeah.
Right, the dude dropped dead. Then he asked his wife, "Did you such and such?" And said, "How did you both conspire against the Holy Ghost?" You see. So this is that thing, and they both fell dead.
Right.
So, no, I mean, man, you know, they had that. That's just a part of that power that the Lord give you, you know. But you can't be reckless with it, man. You can't be just going around cursing people because they, you know, cut you off in the street. You know, you driving your car and then you curse them and then they go and burst into flames. You know, you that kind of power, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot of power to cause somebody to drop dead right before you. That's huge.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know about you, man, but to sit up there to have the power to make somebody just drop dead right there in front of your presence, not once or twice, you know, man, Jude, that's you right. That's a heavy gift, but it's not for everybody, and it won't be given to everybody because not everybody's mature enough to handle this. Great precept, man. Great, 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 great precept, brother. Thank you for bringing us back in remembrance that we do have the power of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And the power of life and death is where? In the tongue. You know? So, amen. Amen. I yield the mic.
I'll praise. Thanks for your input. Thanks for reading for me, too. Do you have any more words?
Amen.
Any more input?
Amen.
Talking.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, there you go.
Yes,
oh,
ma'am. There you go.
Sorry, I was just talking. I'm sorry. Amen. If I could say this real quick. First of all, shalom, shalom.
Jesus walked away.
First of all, amen, shalom. First of all, I was saying that I just want to thank God for you bringing this precept. It just brought confirmation for me, and I've been trying to tell or show people this many times over. So I just thank him for giving you this knowledge to further our knowledge and understanding of, like my husband just said, life and death and the power of the tongue, blessing and cursing. But I agree with you, Brother Isaiah. We are not on the level of like the prophets were. Totally different level.
Right.
I just took some notes so I wouldn't go off key here, but I believe that Jesus is asking all of us to live and operate at a higher level, as you were stating, at a higher level and a higher standard. And now that he's already, you know, like you said in the New Testament, he died on the cross for all of our sins and our trespasses. So we are on a different higher level than in the New Testament. And as we read in the Old Testament, as you were reading, had my husband read those scriptures, There were a lot of people cursing their enemies. There really were. But now in the New Testament, as we were reading, and my husband read some of the scriptures that you stated in the New Testament, there's specific verses that we read this evening when Jesus tells us to what? Love our enemies, to bless our enemies, to pray for our enemies over and over again. That's all you're seeing in the New Testament is blessing and praying and loving. He's not telling us to ask God to bring them down and you know, with some type of curse or death or doom or destruction, as, you know, a lot of us want to do to those that try to hurt us. But now,
right.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. God does have a war side to him, to his personality. He does. He does have a war side. And he won't hesitate, you know, to go to battle for us, to protect us, our family, or our loved ones. But God, we got to let God decide how he wants to handle
right.
our enemies. We have to let him decide. And I looked up the word curse when you were saying it, when you were talking about the curses. It says to call down evil upon others violently. It also says a call for evil to rest on someone. You want evil to rest on them. It says to invoke, invocation of evil against one's enemies. So all three of these are asking evil to be brought upon someone. But in the New Testament, it shows that the Lord flat out is telling us that, like it says in 1 Peter 3:9, that we are not to repay evil for evil, render evil for evil. It says, what does it say actually? In 1 Peter 3:9, it says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That's what that says, not to render evil for evil. So I was like, oh, okay. And forgive me, just one more bit. Like we kept reading over and over and over again, blessing, bless those who curse you, persecute you, speak all manner of evil against you. I want to read, is it Nahum chapter 1, 2, and 3? Nahum verses 2 and 3. I think it's N-A-H chapter 1 I found. Or was it Romans 12? Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
No, I think it was Luke. When I, because I was like, "Ooh, babe, look, I wrote down Luke chapter 20, chapter 6, verse 26 to 36." Because that said that last verse, I think it was Luke. Let me check. Hold on, I'm doing one of your numbers now because this was interesting when he read it. But I already had it written down. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27 through 36. Yeah, okay. Luke, and I'm just going to read this and then I'll yield the mic for someone else to say something. But I had so much written down because I was like, oh, wow. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says, But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that man would, and that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love but those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But, and I think this is it, 35 and 36, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. So notice the last verse, it says that God himself is kind and merciful to the unthankful and the evil, and we should do the same. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not us, in Jesus' mighty name. And then I went to Nahum chapter 1, I think it was. when you were speaking. Verses 2 and 3, God is a jealous God, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, in the storm, and in the clouds are the dust of his feet. So in conclusion, when you put all these scripts together that you read in the Old Testament tonight and the New Testament tonight, it's like putting it together a jigsaw, and I think the revelation comes through, and it's loud and clear through the scriptures that you read tonight, Brother Isaiah, that there are some curses. Though there were cursings done in the Old Testament, I believe God wants all of us to live a higher and a higher level standard, as it says in the New Testament, like you read tonight, showing us the opposite of the cursing. And now that we all are supposed to have that Holy Spirit living inside of us, that meekness and charity, you know, that Holy Spirit inside of us to sanctify us and to transform us, we need to remember to love, bless, and pray for our enemies. Amen.
Amen.
And that's all I want to say. I have so much written down. I should message you what I have written down, because I was just going and going and going and like the interject bunny rabbit. I was like, ooh,
amen.
And it takes you to other scriptures, but I just thank you for reminding
amen.
Us this evening. You know, people can curse all day long. I'm not talking about profanity. People can curse people all day long. You know, this is going to happen to you, but that's not what the Lord wants from us. We're on a new higher level. We're on a new standard, you know. So just thank you for reminding us that. We have to pray and bless our enemies. We have to pray and bless our enemies. And what does that say today? That it was put a heap of coal of fire, a heap of coals on their head.
When you're good to your enemy, and they don't know. Well, it's like, well, do good to, well, I know exactly what he's talking about. It's like, do good to your enemy after they did something so wicked and bogus to you. Now you still treat them good and still love for them. It's like heaps of cold on it, like burning on them. We don't even realize when we do that to our enemy that the Lord is showing us how to defeat our enemy. And you know, the Lord showed me that right now, man. I'm telling you right now, oh my goodness. You know, y'all, let me go out. It looks like Gentiles over here. But you know, the Lord, I got to really, you know, say, I think the Lord's really trying to show me some stuff. You know, really trying to show me some stuff. Because, you know, I want y'all to pray for me, you know, because, you know, I'm a full-time dad, and I want to salute all the women that's been doing this by themselves. Because, you know, getting a little girl ready and taking her to school and stuff like that and using all this money and stuff for cabs and taxis and Ubers, it can get tiring, you know, and it's like no one understands. But, you know, the Father, I asked for it. You know, the Father has given it to me, so I'm asking y'all to please keep me in y'all prayers and to strengthen me with patience. You know, so if y'all can do that for me, that'd be a massive blessing. But you know, you know what you said, heaps of coal of fire. You know, I know I'm going back off of topic and stuff like that. Excuse me. It's almost time for my bedtime. But you know, it's like that heaps of coal of fire. You know, man, it's like the Lord was really showing me some stuff, man. You know, just with heaps of coals, like heaps of coals of fire. It's like at work or anything. It's like when people try to get up on your skin, it's like the Lord teaches us how to defeat our enemy. Hit them with a scripture. Hit them with a scripture or two. They'll leave you alone. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
But yeah, I get a mic with that. I didn't
want to
take up too much time. Excuse me about that.
Amen. Grace and peace, brother. And you're right, man. Big ups to them sisters is out here, you know, 2 and 3 on their own. You know what I mean? And they little ones, man. They have to put them Pampers on and then bathe one and get one to preschool and then the other one is in grammar school, and then the other one, you know, man, you know, there's a lot of work on that, you know. It's not easy. That's why, you know, that this 21st century relationship thing is all bad, man, because it teaches us not to work with one another to build a family, man. It teaches us to go in opposite directions and cause pride to set in. And so forth, you know. Yeah, that in itself is a doozy. Praying for you, bro, because you know,
amen,
you need that, man. You're gonna need that patience. That it's a part that's in women that God naturally given them for the completion of the household that He didn't give man, because He wrote it in a woman, and that's something that's, you know, I don't know, that just like it's like a, you know, woman can't teach a man what it is to be a man, you know, she could teach him to be responsible, she could teach him to be respectable, you know, but that man, you know, she can't teach him that because she's a woman. That's a missing element. Same thing with a man. A man can't teach a little girl how to be a girl, because that's not an element there, but he can teach her to be respectful. He can teach her to respect herself and so forth, you know. And yeah, we had to pray for that element, you know, that the Father give you that, so that that'll complete her and make her whole as well. So, yes, sir, you know, all praise be to Most High God that we able to lift you up in that light and strengthen you and your family as you grow, you know, and become more mature and as, you know, become more established in this life and become more aware that this world only has a short time window. So, you have any closing comments, bro, before we wrap it up? You'd like the people to know, share with them before we take off?
If Sister Rhea did it, that she brought out that heap of coals of fire. You know, I just really want to get back on that topic before, you know, that'll be my closing comment. You know, it's just that, you know, just talking to the people that, you know, we in this world. You know, the Lord say He's not praying for us to get out of the world, but you know that we actually come out of the world, you know, we're talking about. You know, if we can't come out of this entire world itself. You know what I'm saying? But I can't even say that because Joe broke that down by worlds, you know what I'm saying? You know, being different, you know, different areas of the country. But you know, it's like we can't leave the planet. You know, but what we can do is just try to do what we can to dwell in this planet. You know, because this whole world is effed up beyond recognition. You know, everybody thinks different than how we think. You know, like, for example, you know, it's like, I don't, it's like a father with his child. It's like, you know, definitely being an Israelite. You know, it's like, it just don't fathom in the head. Like, how could that be? You know, so it's like everything is declined on my part, you know. But I know that maybe the Lord give me some chastisement, something I did back in the day. If it is, I'll take it now. I didn't take the fire, you know. Who knows? But yeah, y'all pray for me, y'all. You know, it's just that, you know, it's just the whole money thing, man. You know, I probably spent about $60, you know, and then to get the client full, I got the client part-time and all that kind of stuff, going back and forth to work, you know, it's taking a toll on me. And, you know, and it's just that, you know, it's just that, I mean, I think the Father's trying to show me something. So I'm waiting for the answers. You know, so just keep me in y'all prayers and, you know, and just really buckle down, and regardless of whatever you go through in life, you know, the Father is allowing it to happen. You know, and definitely just dealing with people, you know, with negative people, really people, you know, it's just in their nature to try to get up out of our skin. You know, but it's one thing that the Father showed me, though, you know, that when people talk crazy to you or try to get up on your skin, it always takes one scripture. If it ain't one scripture, two scriptures, you ain't going to worry about it no more. You know, and I think it's really time for people to know that we are the servants of Most High God. I'm not talking about boasting and saying, look, guys, look what I'm doing. I'm reading the Bible. I ain't talking about like that. Just know that we out here, you know, and in order for people to learn, you know, they got to know that we here. You know, and if it take a scripture or two, then who knows? It may be a scripture or two. But the whole thing is that, you know, the Lord teaches us how to defeat our enemy, you know, and whatever we go through in life, you know, we just got to be patient with it. So I get a mic with that, y'all.
Amen. Amen, Jew. Great precept. Well, once again, Brother Brown, and are you going to be available this Thursday night?
If the Lord want me to, I will. I don't have nothing in plan. I kind of shortened that lesson tonight, so maybe I deal with that some more. I don't know. I still got some other lessons. I mean, I don't know. Whatever the Father put in my heart, it might be some tonight, it might be some tomorrow. Who knows? But he'll let me know what we want me to deal with.
Okay, Jewel. Hey, once again, want to be here next Thursday night for your brother Isaiah Brown. You just heard him coming out of Peoria, Illinois, from the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible study class, and that was a meat lesson, flat out. It was just all meat. Sorry, people that like milk. That wasn't for you. This is for that meat. That's that meat. That's to get you straight and to take into consideration what you're doing out here in the world before God. And that the servants of God have a right to pray against you. They have a right. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They have a right. So be careful, man, how you treat people out here, because you don't know who you put your hands on. And the Lord will send a king and a messenger after you and take your head off. With that being said, we want to thank you for your time. We hope we edify someone. I'm going to say great job, Sister Rhea, keeping the lines clear and open, and that everything was done and without hiccups. Thank you again, sis, and great, great, great point. I'm sitting here watching you write down all them scripts, and I say, oh, my God, she is gone. But, yeah, amen, amen. It's good to see that. Great job with the boys. So we want to say thank you, too. And once again, you got to listen to the Sounds of Living Water radio show. You want to be back here Wednesday morning. No, Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock with Chasing Climates with, back with Rob Christensen on another episode of Chasing Climates. We do have Brother Nakomi Swanson Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You want to be here for that. The Nation of Peace, and like I said, you just heard your brother Isaiah Brown. He will be back here Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m., with another precept, I'm sure. One of them never you heard of titles. with all cat of meat just in the title itself. You know, the title teach you. That's what's up. You know, when the title teach you, that's what's up. Big ups. And you want to be back here Friday night, of course, for the Sabbath lesson and Sabbath Day to Creation Sunday. We'll be back for the breakfast brunch, which is 10 o'clock a.m. And Sunday evening, yay, we got a new hookup coming out of the southern part of Illinois. An extension of the Commonwealth of Israel Bible study class, 7 o'clock. You want to be there for that? Got a big surprise for you, Hebrews. Ooh, you guys ain't ready for this. Anyway, be here for that. That's this Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. With that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Was
that Sister Mary?
Yeah.
Hey, brother Isaiah.
Sounds of the Living Water radio show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the most high lost, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, radio show.